Menards has what you need to beat the heat. From bottled water to air conditioners and fans, we have everything in stock to keep you from overheating. Patio umbrellas are simple but effective ways to cool down while outside. We also carry a wide assortment of sprinklers, pools, popsicles, and more to help keep the kids cool. Stock up and stay cool with help from Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
You won't believe what prepared the Bella Twins for the WWE.
And what iconic role did Michael Keaton almost turn down?
Plus, Carl Weathers and LeVar Burton were such good friends that nothing could come between them. But first, let's get this started!
All right, y'all. Katy Perry's daughter, Daisy, is 4 years old, and becoming a mother gave her a new appreciation for her own parents. Mm. During a recent interview, she said, after having my child, the level of respect for my mother, my parents in general, it just went through the roof because I was like, how did you keep us alive without iPads? So, parents in the house, Brat and HK, could you imagine raising your kids without modern-day conveniences? And did you appreciate your parents more once you became a parent?
Definitely appreciate my parents more since I've become a parent, because it's a job.
Yeah.
You know, you have to keep that kid entertained, and thank God for the iPads that go in the car, because my kid would probably just be looking like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things are clutch, but becoming a parent made me understand why my parents smoked so much weed.
Yeah.
Growing up, it's like, oh, I get it. You didn't smoke weed, like, because, like, well, you can't smoke weed. You got kids. No, they smoke weed because they have kids. So I definitely understand.
Yeah, you need some type of vice, honey.
Oh. Yeah. You know, a little buffer to take the edge off.
Yeah, a little buffer, a little shot of hair to see your
kids will have you walking around with your fist ball.
Okay. Or just nervous that they don't hurt themselves or something. Well, mine is small, so.
Oh,
yeah, it makes your anxiety high and everything.
Yeah, but y'all got to remember, CPS watched this show.
They keep our nerves back. Kids do crazy things.
My mom's trick was ordering the margarita flavored snow cone and then never giving us any after she got home and doctored it a little bit.
Okay.
It's like, you ain't gonna like how this tastes.
Yeah. Just,
all right, man. Well, Michael Keaton recently had a big hit with the sequel, Beetlejuice, but he almost didn't star in the original Beetlejuice movie. That's because when director Tim Burton explained the movie to him, he wasn't feeling it.
Ooh.
Michael explained, I just said, I don't know what it is. He'd probably be better off getting someone else because I don't get it. I literally didn't know what it was. Now, fortunately, he liked Tim Burton as a person, so he decided to take a chance, and they've made 5 movies together now. So if you was him, would you have taken a chance, or you'd have been like, nah, fam, I don't understand what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, he made it his own. I read this whole thing one time about how the character of Beetlejuice was originally a very serious character, not this, like, Joker, trickster kind of guy, and that Keaton came up with all of that, kind of like the big hair look and the crazy suit and all these cracking jokes. So sometimes you just gotta put your own spin on it.
Yeah. That's why he's one of the best.
Yeah.
Because even when you think about, like, Batman, no one believed Michael Keaton could have been a good Batman.
He was the best Batman.
He applied himself in such a way where, like, you was like, that's our guy.
Yeah, he was my favorite Batman by far. Well, Michael Keaton's Beetlejuice co-star, Winona Ryder, was in the height of her fame in the 90s, and she chose to pass up several projects back then. But it was hard for her to turn down movies that she didn't want to do. She said, those big movies, you have an entire agency yelling at you to do it. I remember leaving agencies because they would scream at me, are you kidding? Who do you think you are? Oh. So, are y'all surprised to hear this? I mean, have you ever been yelled at for saying no to an opportunity?
But I know why. Now, y'all remember Miss Ryder now, honey. You know that girl likes to steal. So.
I knew you was gonna bring it up. You just came at me.
That's after she said no to a lot of things.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's, she said no too many times.
She had to resort to something else. Yeah. Oh my goodness, Gary.
Nah, but some of these agencies, they do kind of put you in a headspin. What do you mean you don't want, because they get a cut.
Exactly.
So obviously they're gonna put pressure on you to do certain things, but when you know it's not a good fit for you, it's not a good
fit. Don't do it. It's not a good fit. So bet on yourself. Yeah.
Okie dokie, Nikki and Brie Garcia, who were known as the Bella Twins in the WWE, recently shared what helped them in their wrestling careers. Now, might surprise you, when they were 19, the twins worked at Hooters.
Not surprised.
And it helped them own their feminine energy and keep the guys in line. Check this out.
And a lot of us didn't take any crap from our customers. And so it really like taught me at a young age, like just to stand up for myself and like to own it, own the room and own a table. And I think it really helped me actually with probably pro wrestling to take that attitude into that.
Yes. Squeezing your cleavage. You'd be like, do you want more fries with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Does this surprise you guys at all?
No.
Does not surprise me at all.
No.
What?
No, well, Hooters, okay, like, don't get me wrong, I don't spend a lot of time in Hooters, but
of
you can imagine.
You
can imagine being an attractive woman at Hooters and just having to deal with men all day and then getting used to handling
men. But
you
know what you're getting into when you
right.
work there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know the short shorts you're wearing, you know it's about boots and tights. Yeah, you know what's up when you go.
You're
there,
not working at Wendy's, honey.
Right.
Working at
Hooters.
No. But that would have stressed me out because I'd be like, yo, my waitress is ignoring me, but it's a twin.
Oh.
You know, and you wonder why the service is not what you think it should be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Mm.
What do you guys, what job do you guys think helped you prepare the most for Dish Nation?
Working at Target.
Yeah?
Yeah,
because it is a customer service heavy orientated job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Especially depending on what department you're in. So you got to deal with a whole different dynamic of people. So it teaches you how to deal with all different types of personality types. And then I used to also be the PBX operator, so I would do the announcements at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that like played a part in the radio side later on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not used to talking in large groups.
Radio, it helped me for this job. So and Taco Bell when I worked there.
Sure. Well, how did Taco Bell? Oh, are you announcing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, taking orders.
Two tacos, one with no lettuce, no tomatoes. You had to announce it to the people in the back.
Yeah.
Two tacos.
It's all training. Yeah. All right, well, big up Carl Weathers, you know, best known as Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies now. He passed away earlier this year, and he was given a posthumous star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Well, his good friend LeVar Reading Rainbow Burton spoke at the ceremony, and he shared that he and Carl spent a lot of time together at a Korean spa in L.A. Check it out.
And so we spent a lot of time naked in the sauna. Now, when you're naked with somebody, there's nothing to hide. No, I mean, really, there's nothing to hide. And Carl had no problem being his authentic self in every single moment. I think that his ability to be authentic was probably his greatest gift.
I bet you Carl Weathers in his grave was like, shh.
Yeah.
Right, boy, you talking too much.
The real Reading Rainbow.
Congratulations, though. I hate that he got it after he passed away.
Because he deserved it while he was alive.
Like, come on, y'all. We gotta give these people who deserve their stars.
Do you feel like you're naked? Person to person is the best way to have a heart-to-heart conversation. Not with your spouse or significant other, but just a completely, you know, random peer or person
you
know.
If you're comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. I thought about it, us three, me here, Craig and Tana, sitting there just being our authentic self, just talking.
And what are we talking about?
About Dish Nation on, you know, what we're going to do tomorrow on the show and, you know, if a guest going to come on and who's going to be the guest and stuff.
All right.
You know, just getting heart to heart.
That's professional conversation. I'm very surprised and thank you for engaging in pretend professional conversation with us in this intimate moment.
And then come along a spider, Brett, and just break it all up.
I would not want to be in there anywhere at all.
A lot of steam in that room.
Where's it coming from? But anyway, up next, honey, there's something Megan Thee Stallion doesn't give a damn about.
Uh-oh.
Find out what after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back.
Hey.
All right, y'all. So on Jesse Tyler Ferguson's podcast, The Dinner's on Me, he recently sat down with Emily and Paris star Ashley Park and reminisced on that one time when the Modern Family shot an episode in the City of Lights. He said his co-star Eric Stone Street downed several blocks of French butter because he thought it was some fancy cheese. He said Eric had ordered a lunch in Paris with me, and there was this cheese that he loved so much. He was just eating blocks of it. He's like, can I have some more of this? He was chowing down on this cheese, and he's like, I gotta find the name of this. Can you bring me one that's still in the package? Like, I'm gonna get this in the States. It was butter.
Ooh.
Have you guys ever mistook a food for another food and regretted eating it afterwards?
Yeah. My daddy cooked some cow brain with eggs and some other stuff, and I thought it was meat. But it was cow brain.
That is meat.
Yeah, but not no cow brain. I said, never again, honey. It tricked me. I was just saying, have you ever eaten something that you thought that was something and it wasn't?
Absolutely not. I know everything I eat, darling. Everything. I know what it is. And I smell it first. So it ain't spoiled or rotten.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Still fresh.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's not the only dish Tyler had served up on his podcast. Ashley Park talked about an intimate moment she shared with the great Meryl Streep after they wrapped season 3 of Only Murders in the Building. And here's what she said. You know how the end of Broadway shows, when you leave a show, you have everyone sign your playbill? I gave it to Meryl Streep, and she signed it, and she gave it back to me, and it said, I see you, Ash. She was just like, I really see you. You're doing it. Like, still, it's a year later, and it makes me want to cry.
Oh.
How cool is that, to have one of the greats say they see you and notice your acting ability and what you're doing in your career?
Especially somebody top tier like Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Who's always at the award shows about to get an award.
Yes. Gary, have you ever had a great see you moment?
Mm-mm.
No. Have you ever gotten a compliment that you like changed your life or confirmed that you were doing the right thing?
Yeah, like any of your fans, like, we love you so much, we see you working hard and we appreciate you. Or like maybe Ricky or anybody you look up to, or, you know, Little Richard or Diana Ross.
They hadn't seen me yet.
Uh-oh. Okay.
But they gonna see me.
Okay.
Fame. I'm gonna live forever.
Yeah. All right. Well, Meg Thee Stallion said she's about had it with melanated men.
Oh.
That's right, black men.
Oh, man. Lord, man.
Oh, has she?
Now, Meg has had her fair share of run-ins with everyone from Tory Lanez to 50 Cent, and even Young Jock and Shannon Sharp, who apologized for their remarks. Well, in an interview with Billboard, when asked, now that the apologies have started to trickle in from black men, does she believe she's starting to win them over? And she said, at this point in life, I really don't care. Maybe if you would have asked me this last year or 2 years ago, I would have wished I had more black people in general in my corner. It would have felt nice to be protected by some black men in this instance, but the more I wasn't getting it, the more and more I realized I wasn't going to get it. Now, I don't care. As long as I make myself feel happy, that's what matters to me.
Nah. Now, I always wondered, y'all, why, honey, some men hate on Meg so much?
I don't know.
Because they can't deal with a strong woman.
I don't think men hate on her far and large, but I think anytime you're in a space where you're being loved, the little bit of hate that you get from people is going to be magnified.
Yeah.
She wouldn't feel this way than if somebody reared their head and said, let me show you how much I'm loved, especially by African and American men.
Well, I think, you know, the way sometimes people may tell them that they love her in the chat, or maybe not ways that they, you know, she would appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, I love you. Let me show it to you.
Sometimes people get hated on because someone feels like that person's unattainable to them as well.
Yeah, I'm sure she keeps her circle very small now because of all she's been through. So,
You know.
Well, a black man couldn't like me until Juneteenth if I was her. Period.
Okay.
Well. Coming up, honey, we'll tell you why Curtis Jackson thought he was being punked by Marsha Mathers. More on This Dish after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
And we're back.
Hey!
Now, 50 Cent has made it no secret that he'll be forever grateful to Eminem for assisting him into the game. But according to 50, nothing beats the feeling he felt when he first met Eminem. Mm. He said it was so surreal, he thought he was being punked. Check this out.
When he first got with you.
It was wild. It felt like.
How did it happen?
Remember that show that had Punk on MTV?
Yeah, Punk,
I thought they had cameras and it was going to come out and say, you've been
Where
punked.
Where was y'all at? What city was y'all
I was in California. He flew me to LA, right? I came out get there, he like, yo, how do you feel about this? Like, yo, this is gonna be the biggest, right? He's like, yo, so excited, you know, that it made me question whether what was happening was right.
Now, have you ever had a moment in your life or in your career that you thought it was so unbelievable that Ashton Kutcher had to be in the bushes somewhere getting ready to jump out?
Mm-hmm. But I'm curious. I thought 50 Cent introduced Eminem, brought Eminem on. So also Eminem
Dr.
brought
Dre him. Brought Eminem. Mm-hmm. How am I?
Don't worry, baby. You can just let your blackness show.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was a situation. It's like 2018. My mother just passed away. I'm on the Eric B. and Rakim tour. We're on, like, our third date. At this point, I still haven't seen Rakim eye to eye. Mm. And I just got finished rocking. He comes from backstage, makes eye contact with me. He's like, yo, sorry about your mom. And he's like, how the hell did you know? Right. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It was such a surreal moment because it's Rakim. And who told you?
Right.
And for him to be so plugged in, like, yo, like, I cried on the inside. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was working on a show a long time ago, and there was a change-up in the people on the show, and I was still there. And the week after the change-up happened, Arsenio Hall came on as a guest. Oh. And I wasn't scheduled to interview Arsenio. I'd grown up, Arsenio was the person who I saw on the TV. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm, like, walking off the stage, I'm headed over here, because I belong over here. The famous people are over here now. And as I'm walking by, he steps out of his way to come up around, and he tells me, he says, I'm glad you're still here.
Wow.
And that meant the world, to me.
Yeah.
You know.
When that day he got fired? Or?
No, Arsenio was there as a guest.
Oh.
He was there as a guest. And just washed it enough and you know, just gave me that compliment. It was super nice.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Right? For Dog Pound for Life. Yeah.
Moving on. Unfortunately, our rapper Toosie Honey found himself in his feelings because women don't date men like him. And it's upsetting for me. For him. So, hey, Craig, honey, can you tell us exactly what Toosie said?
Sure. Toosie tweeted, I'm too boring for women. I hate the club. I work 24/7. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't be on none of that stuff these girls be liking. I make money and be in a house. I'm cool with a boring life.
It's also like so much about the music industry is being out and is turning up and then showing like, here I am in all these places. And if he's not the person who goes those places, then probably there are a lot of people in his circle who don't rock with him like that, you know?
Because they want to do those things.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
They want to be the girl getting bottle service.
You got to go to like Trader Joe's like midday.
Whole Foods.
Yeah, it'd be a whole different... like universe of people there during those times. Like young people want to live long.
Well, up next, y'all, find out which legendary actor got banned, honey, from Aspen, Colorado for being too promiscuous. Ooh. Stay tuned for that hot tea and spicy tea after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
And we're back, man.
Back, man.
All right, guys. Online personality Cody Tucker has brought back some old tea about the original Batman, Adam West.
Uh-oh.
And it's led me to do some research about him. And this is some dish that you should know, okay? Apparently, the Caped Crusader, Adam West, once partied so hard and slept with so many women in Aspen, Colorado, that he was banned from the city for 15 years.
Oh. Wow.
Holy banned Batman. There's also another rumor that Adam had sex with at least 8 women every day.
Wow.
And I mean, it's safe to say Adam was fighting crime and clapping cheeks all at the same time.
Absolutely. Back then, you didn't have all the stuff that was out.
Okay.
Just imagine standing in the door archway like that, like right.
Okay. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. We stood in line for an hour to get an autograph from Adam West. My mom can't help it. She goes, I used to watch you all the time growing up. And this man, smooth as silk, didn't miss a beat. He looked at her in the eyes and he goes, that must be why you turned out so lovely. And my mom lost it.
Ooh.
My mom lost it, ran around the other side of the booth and got photos with Adam West.
So you're saying your mom was a groupie?
I'm not saying my mom was a groupie.
No.
I'm saying
could
my
he possibly
mom,
be your dad?
My mom might have wanted to go to the Batcave. I don't know.
Oh,
she might have wanted to stand outside the trailer. That's all right, Shell Daughter. We all had them moments, girl.
I wonder how many bat babies is running around Aspen.
Ain't
you know,
no
the strength of his visits.
He bagged a few cat women.
Oh, meow, huh? Well, y'all, that's all the time we have for today. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.